Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being well informed. Today, we are taking a deep breath and wading into a really intense topic. It's this often confusing collision of roles inside big tech organizations. I'm talking about the business analyst versus the product owner, the BA versus the PO.
And this really isn't just a, you know, a debate about job titles. This structural confusion, especially in companies that are trying to go product-led, is so often the root cause of project misalignment and budget overruns and, of course, delayed delivery.
Absolutely. And our deep dive today, it's based on some extensive industry analysis from Gregory Garner, who's been mapping these patterns for decades. His core idea is that success is all about where you place that PO role, and that forcing it into IT instead of, say, the business side is what consistently breaks otherwise high-performing teams.
It's a fascinating paradox, isn't it? Organizations, they want that strategic focus. They want the customer clarity that a product owner is supposed to bring. But the way they try to implement it, it often ends up just dismantling their ability to actually deliver anything. So our mission here is to figure out why this misplacement happens and, you know, more importantly, to lay out a framework that actually works, a way the BA and the PO can not just coexist, but really thrive.
Okay, so let's just unpack that right away. How is it that the very term product owner that companies use to get more agile is, well, the source of all the confusion?
It's a failure of context, a huge failure of context. That PO role, it originated inside Scrum. And Scrum is a very, very specific, structured, and non-negotiable way of doing agile. It's a job title that comes with a whole built-in set of rules and authorities.
And that gets us to what I think is the perfect dysfunction litmus test. Jeff Sutherland, right, the co-creator of Scrum, he puts it so bluntly. He just asks companies, are you doing it exactly the way we told you? And the answer is almost always no.
Always no. And that, he says, is where the dysfunction begins.
Exactly.
Most companies, what they're doing is a hybrid. They'll adopt the rituals, you know, the stand-ups, the Jira boards, sprints, backlogs, but they don't adopt the underlying structural commitments, the authority models that real Scrum demands. So when you just borrow that PO job title and try to, you know, force it into a traditional IT department that isn't running true Scrum, you've just created a misfit role.
And what happens to that misfit role then?
The whole function just collapses. It becomes, well, it's not strategic enough to actually shape the market, but it's also not tactical enough to write clear requirements. It just sits there in this vacuum generating confusion.
Right.
And because the details still need to get done, right? The requirements, the flows, the modeling, all that just lands right back on the business analyst.
So that's where the friction starts.
That is the very start of the organizational friction.
That makes so much sense. You borrow a title without the scaffolding, and things are bound to fall apart. Which I think leads us to the next critical point Garner makes. If the PO role is so often misused, where? Where should it live? The source material is adamant. It belongs to the business. Not IT.
This is the pattern. I mean, across every major sector, finance, healthcare, retail, you name it, the successful pattern is always the same. IT cannot own the product vision. That has to come from the business. It must.
But hold on. A lot of organizations would argue that putting the PO in IT makes things faster. You know, better integration, quicker execution. Doesn't putting it on the business side just slow development down?
That is such a common misconception. The speed you think you're gaining up front by putting the PO in IT, you lose all of it and more later on in rework and misalignment. It's because that person, they just lack the essential authority. True product ownership requires four things, four non-negotiables that IT leadership just typically doesn't have. Deep domain knowledge, the authority to make real business decisions, direct accountability for the outcomes, and alignment with revenue and risk.
Let's really nail down that accountability piece. You said it's key. Why doesn't IT have that authority?
Because IT is fundamentally a cost center.
Right.
Their job is to optimize for delivery, for feasibility, for technical debt. They aren't measured on the profit and loss statement, the P&L. They're not held accountable for market adoption or customer acquisition. The true product owner has to own the P&L of that product. When you force IT to act as the PO, you're asking them to own decisions like pricing or market timing or even regulatory risk that their leaders are just not measured on, and they don't have the final say.
And the sources show this just leads to this terrible dual failure. The business feels totally disconnected from the product.
Yep.
And IT ends up getting blamed for decisions they never really had the power to make in the first place.
Exactly. It's a failure that's literally built into the org chart. So if the PO role is misplaced, what does that do to the BA? That brings us to the third big area. The fragility of the business analyst role when it's put under all this pressure.
And the BA is, I mean, truly the tactical backbone of successful delivery. They provide that critical value that prevents project failure more than almost any other role. We're talking about the skill for deep requirements elicitation, the technical understanding, the ability to visualize really complex system behavior.
They're the defect prevention mechanism. That's what they are. A BA is the one catching the missed edge cases, modeling state transitions. They create the flow diagrams and make sure developers understand the intent, not just the words in a user story. This work is absolutely essential. But when the organization starts pushing PO duties onto the BA, demanding they handle strategic prioritization or justify business value, they're instantly pulled away from that critical, detailed work.
And that's the no-win trap Garner describes. When a BA has to cover PR duties without any business authority, they're responsible for the outcomes. But they have no strategic permission to make the trade-offs. If you've ever been a BA, you know that feeling. Being asked to prioritize a backlog when you don't even have access to the customer usage data or the financials.
That is the trap, and it causes two things to happen. One, the BA burns out, and two, the project quality just plummets, which leads to massive rework. This is why that core insight is so, so powerful. You ready? A strong BA beats a weak PO every time.
That statement should be on every project manager's desk. So why is that tactical clarity so much more important than, say, strategic ambition in the day-to-day life of a project?
Because projects almost never fail for strategic reasons. They fail for tactical ones. They fail because the requirements were unclear, or the interfaces weren't mapped right, or the system behavior wasn't fully documented. These are the detailed, nitty-gritty clarity issues that a skilled BA fixes. A weak PO, especially one stuck in IT without authority, they can't solve those problems. But they can and do distract the person who can. We need good POs for vision, for sure, but we need great BAs to make that vision real, deployable, and, you know, defect-free.
Okay, so if replacing one role with the other doesn't work, we need a model for coexistence that moves us right into the solution, the ECHO model.
Right, the ECHO model establishes the BA not as some kind of quasi-product owner, but as the essential strategic bridge. The bridge between that high-level business vision and the low-level technical implementation. It is all about defining the boundaries explicitly, making sure every piece of the puzzle is owned by someone.
Let's define those components then. What exactly are the elements of ECHO?
ECHO is an integrated framework, and it's designed to bring clarity. It ties together experience design, or UXD, interaction design, IXD, which is the detailed user flow, then business analysis, BA, and finally product ownership, PO. The real key is the unambiguous allocation of responsibility within that team.
Can you walk us through that, the clarity of responsibility? What does BA actually translate in this model?
The framework makes it super simple. The business, or the PO, they own the what and the why. That's the strategy, the market fit, a prioritization based on value. The dev team owns the how, the technical architecture, the implementation, the feasibility, and the BA. The BA owns the essential act of translation between them.
And that translation, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? What are the BA's concrete deliverables that actually bridge that gap?
The BA takes that high-level user story, like, as a customer, I want to reset my password, and turns it into concrete, implementable artifacts. They're creating the state diagrams, the system behavior models, the interface specs, and all the detailed if-then-else logic that truly clarifies the intent. They are translating the what into the precise, tactical details that you need for error-free development.
The structure seems like it's designed specifically to avoid a really common failure mode we see, the one where a company creates a dedicated product owner group inside IT. Why does that internal group so consistently fail?
The sources are crystal clear on this. That internal PO group becomes a massive decision bottleneck. Since they don't have real strategic authority, every important prioritization decision has to go back to the business anyway. So you end up with duplicate roles, tons of process overhead, and just confusing accountability. And crucially, that centralized group, they often weaken the UX and the architecture because they're too far removed from the actual design work and the DPA modeling.
So if that strategy fails, then the successful high-performance structure must look very different. Let's outline that better path forward, the one confirmed by this analysis, that actually reduces rework and speeds things up.
The successful structure looks exactly like the ECHO framework in action. It's really four steps. One, the business provides the true product owner. They own strategy. They dictate priorities based on P&L and market data. Two, IT strengthens its BA discipline. It maintains technical stewardship and confirms feasibility. Three, the BA serves as that essential communication bridge, ensuring clarity, visualizing requirements, making the work buildable and testable. And four, UX, IXD, and the dev teams, they all design, build, and validate the solution against those crystal clear requirements.
What's so fascinating there is that this alignment isn't just about efficiency, it's about trust. You're making sure that people who are accountable for an outcome, whether that's profitability or code quality, are also the ones empowered to make the decisions.
Function defines structure. It's that simple. IT is fantastic at feasibility and execution. The business is fantastic at strategy and market alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And the BA is that highly technical discipline that ensures those two halves can communicate flawlessly.
Okay, so let's wrap this all up with the key takeaways for you, the listener. First, if you're not doing true Scrum, do not borrow Scrum job titles. It just creates immediate, avoidable friction. Second, the tactical clarity that a strong business analyst provides is absolutely non-negotiable for project success. It will almost always prevent delivery failure from ambiguity.
And if you're wrestling with this role confusion in your own organization, we highly recommend you explore the deeper frameworks, the visual models and the full ECHO methodology that Gregory Garner describes. You can find his work and all the detailed analysis at requirementspec.com and greggarner.me.
Fantastic. Really actionable insights.
And finally, a provocative thought to leave you with. If senior leaders consistently regret forcing the product owner role into IT, how does your organization measure the hidden costs of tactical misalignment? That's the cost of rework, of bug fixing, of delay. It's often invisible until the very end. And how does it compare to the much more visible costs of, say, strategic ambiguity? Where should your leadership really focus its investment to unlock the most value? Reinforcing tactical mastery or trying to own a strategic role that truly belongs in the hands of the business. Think about that next time you start writing a user story.